Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sanders to the right, Freiermuth wing right. It's going to be Sanders through the hole to the 10, to the 5, to the goal line. He's got a touchdown. Penn State, Miles Sanders scores from 14 yards out, and the Nittany Lions cap a 70-yard drive. Sanders up the middle. Sanders dives into the end zone. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions cap the drive and take the lead. First and goal at the 5, far hash. McSorley, he'll throw it. Caught by Freiermuth. Stumbles to the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State. The 32nd consecutive game that Trace McSorley has a touchdown pass. On 2nd and 7 at the Illinois 48. It's Sanders again, 45-40. Breaks the tackle near side, 30. 25-20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Miles Sanders from 48 yards out. His third touchdown of the game. And the Nittany Lions retake the lead. Sorley takes it back. Steps up in the pocket. In the end zone, John Johnson. Touchdown, Penn State. Back goes McSorley. Sets. Long throw to the far corner. Reaching up, Hamler. He is there, and he's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. There's the killer instinct. Sorley to Slade again. Through the hole. 45, 50. To his right to the 40. Far sideline, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Ricky Slade from 61 yards out, and the Nittany Lions are rolling. Brown to the left on 2nd and goal at the 6. Clifford takes it. It's going to be Journey Brown to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Journey Brown's first career touchdown.
Well, I think, number one, we found a way to get a win on the road against a Big Ten opponent. Obviously, whenever you score 63 points, I don't care who it is, it's impressive. I think we almost rushed for 400 yards, but we got to get better. There's no doubt about it. In all three phases, we got to get better. We got to be more consistent. We got to execute at a higher level. I thought second half, obviously, we did that, but I don't think we did that the way we need to in the first half. So, you're sitting here saying you won on the road against a Big Ten opponent, scored 63 points, but I talked to you guys all week long. I talked to the players all week long about turnovers, and we didn't do a great job with that, but again, we were able to find a way to get a win on the road, and we're pleased with that.
Yeah, I think our running game is really, kind of improved this year. I think we can get better, obviously, in the passing game. We can be more consistent with our accuracy. We can be more consistent with the plays that we make in terms of consistently catching the ball. Everything, every aspect of it, making sure that we're going through our progressions correctly. We got to improve in our passing game. There's no doubt about it. We've led the conference in passing the last 2 years. We got to get better there. But, yeah, we felt like we had a good plan in the running game. We're gradually getting better each week in the running game, but again, we got to be a little bit more balanced.
He's right about that. And when you get into a big game like this coming up this week, balance is going to be very important. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have done a great job over the years of making sure that their clients are best served, whether it be getting them exactly the right insurance, which is always the goal, finding them the best possible price, and then as time goes, making sure that they're updated, and if you need help, they jump right in and they work very hard for you. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up today, we'll have Bucknell football coach Joe Susan. Will join us at 3:35. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. We'll talk about the Phillies and the Eagles. Let me give you the Phillies fans It's been a rough, rough September. The Pirates right now have a better record than the Phillies do. How about that? And also, we'll get into it with the Eagles and what they did yesterday with Carson Wentz coming back and really limited offensive weapons to work with, and they had enough to beat the Colts yesterday. We'll talk about that. The Steelers will take on the Buccaneers tonight. We'll get into Penn State football. Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, is on tomorrow's show. Jack Ham is on Wednesday's show. We have a lot coming up. And I'm being told that before the week is out, and it may be as late as Friday, but I believe that there's a good chance we're going to get somebody from ESPN Game Day on the show. Last I checked, they're going to be here. So that's what we have coming up for you this week. Friday night, Penn State went in. It looked like midway through the second quarter they were starting to gain some control of the game, and then lost control of it. Illinois scored 17 unanswered points to take a 21-7 deficit for Illinois and turn it into a 24-21 lead. So here's Penn State faced with a true and legitimate deficit now on the road, and how would they respond? Penn State scored a touchdown on every possession in the second half. They had six possessions in the second half. They scored 42 points. It is the third time this season that Penn State has scored 40 or more unanswered points. Think about that. That's the third time this season that they have scored 40 or more unanswered points, which means obviously offensively you're rolling, but unanswered also means they're not scoring. Penn State did, as the game went, did a little bit better job defending Illinois. And I went in and I told everybody going in, and you know, we did the show from Champaign on Friday, that Illinois runs the ball well. I also said they don't throw the ball very well. And certain players kept getting lost in the wash against Illinois. In the second half, they did a better job at taking the right pursuit angles, getting themselves in the spot, reading their keys better. Instead of getting themselves into a bad spot, they read it better. They ran the ball beautifully. Miles Sanders, his style really fits this offensive line. He's a one-cut-go guy for the most part. He's a straight-ahead guy for the most part. And the offensive line is doing a great job of straight ahead and taking care of business. Pass game was good. But you've got to be able to, for example, on that opening drive, I mean, Penn State's moving and carving, and you can't fumble the ball at that point. And turnovers were, it ended up being even giveaway takeaway because Penn State had two fourth-quarter interceptions. But, that's an area where Penn State has really excelled the last 2 years. Their ability to win the turnover battle. You're going to have to do that against Ohio State on Saturday night. Ohio State's in an interesting spot on Saturday. They haven't played what I consider to be a true road game yet. Yes, they play TCU in Arlington, which is halfway between Dallas and Fort Worth. Okay? But Ohio State fans bought up tickets in droves down there. TCU only has a limited fan base. 60% to two-thirds of that crowd happened to be Ohio State fans when they played TCU in Arlington. They're not going to have that situation here. There'll be about 110,000 fans here, and 106 will be Penn State fans, and about 4,000 will be maybe 5,000 max, because I'm sure there'll be some people saying, I'm going to profit off the game and sell my tickets. Yeah, that's great. Good for you. Yeah, you're a real fan. But they're not going to have that. They're going to have to deal with silent counts. And it's not just Haskins. I mean, I think Haskins can handle things fine. Haskins is really good, in my opinion. I mean, I think he's really good. I'm really genuinely impressed by him. But it's going to be the tackles, for example. It's going to be the H-backs, for example, that have to work off that silent count because they're the ones who jump. I mean, they're the ones that jump in a game like that. And we'll see if maybe Penn State can get them to move a little. I'm talking about the fans. If the fans can get them to move a little bit on Saturday night to maybe get a false start or two. Now, the more that happens, the more the fan base gets involved, saying, feeling they have an influence on the game. No getting around that. Quarterback, I don't really, he stepped in and did a good job at Michigan, even though Michigan is not, Michigan's not in really at, it's, Michigan and Penn State are not in the same realm in terms of how loud it is, decibel level. They're not the same. But that is the, so we'll see how that plays out. I'm not saying it's going to affect him, but it could affect their tackles coming in here because they haven't had, you can pipe in all the noise you want. It's not going to be like it's in here, just the way it is. But it's the tackles, it's the H-back, tight end, trying to work off a silent count. And then you go from there. Because they haven't had to do that this year. Haven't had to. All right. We'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steelers play tonight at Tampa Bay. At the moment, the Steelers have a record that is worse than Buffalo, worse than Cleveland, worse than the Giants. Not good. They are a highly entertaining team off the field. On the field, not so much. On the field, not so much.
Must win for them tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is. I think it is a must win for them tonight.
I just think with how fragile that locker room is right now, considering what's happened the last week and a half with Antonio Brown alone, if they lose this game, things are just going to shatter instantly for that locker room. And I think you'll only see this team win a handful of games. When I say a handful, I mean like 4, 5, 6 tops if this doesn't get turned around starting tonight.
Look, I mean, I understand flamboyant. I got it. But look, if you're going to show up in a helicopter, you better play like you show up in a helicopter. Antonio Brown has not played really that well so far. You can talk about, you got to get me the ball. You got to make some plays, too.
He has gotten the ball. He had 7 catches last week.
Yeah. I'm just saying. He's not playing. Not playing that well. And better play well tonight because it's a possibility that tonight is a track meet. And if it's a track meet, then you better have the guy who's your anchor leg of the baton. Brown can be that. I mean, Connor will run well. That's no issue. I mean, James Connor's fine. Connor is not the complete back that Bell is. But some other team's going to find out about that because he's not going to be playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, simple as that, he is not going to be playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, after a while, you have to just look around and say, you know what? This is getting to be ridiculous. And and it is getting to be ridiculous. And you know what? I'd wait till like the middle of week 9 before I dealt. Like, fine. you're going to get any money. Is this, you know, you want to treat, this is how you're going to treat everybody? Then you get nothing. So. Sounds cruel, but that's how I think, like, hey, look, you don't want to be here? Fine. We can play this any way you want. Yeah, I'm sick of hearing, oh, they need to get value. Value for what? You know, value for a guy that doesn't play every game during the course of a season? He never plays every game during a season. When? Awesome playoff performer. He's had one good playoff game, and by the way, it was very good at Kansas City. All his other playoff games? Mediocre. Mediocre. Okay? He's even missed playoffs. You know, he's missed it because of injuries. Good reason, yes. But,
And the Steelers now are listening to offers, which isn't really a much of a change from what we've seen with them before with this, but at least the biggest breaking news is they're actually listening and will think about a trade offer, though it's probably going to be pretty complicated to still trade him at this point.
Well, you got time. You got people, if they want him, you can trade him. There are going to be teams that maybe get in contention. They want to get him. Where people have cap space and feel they can negotiate a deal with him. Yeah, it's fine. But is he worth it? Nope. That is, after a while, you got to say, excuse me, do I need this aggravation every year? The answer is no. You don't need this aggravation every year. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo did tear his ACL. They did confirm that today. And then there's the Tiger Woods story. You can't get through without talking about the Tiger Woods story, which we will do in a bit. Because I think the Tiger Woods story is... it is amazing the incredible transformation of the image of Tiger Woods, where he has gone from being loved because people love how he plays golf to also having a mixture of curiosity because he is so great to people wanting to see him fail, and that's why they watch. To have people universally be excited that he won again, and how he has reacted to it. This is not the guy that turned down the CVS charity to sign a golf ball 15, 20 years ago when all the other Masters champions did.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding exactly the right insurance for their customers, and also making sure they find the best price. Very important. Oh, and by the way, if something just happens to happen to you, they will jump right in as if it happened to them. They're your partner when it comes to insurance. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. Let's dive in here and get to work. And the head football coach at Bucknell is Joe Susan. Coach, pleasure. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Good to be back.
Joe, you have faced a very tough schedule. And this is something that I talked about and outlined months ago, that you were going to have to go through this portion of the schedule. What have you learned in this part of the schedule?
I've learned that, number one, the young men on our team play their tails off. And regardless of the situation, they keep fighting. And that shows me their resolve and shows me that they're willing to continue. Now, people with less character would back away. And obviously, you come out of a four-game stretch, 0-4. They're 18-23. They're impressionable. But I credit the coaches on our staff, and I credit the leadership in our program, where I brought our captains in, and all four of them to a man. Just it was they played well. Now parts of our team against Villanova did not play well. We're working on fixing that. We actually lead the country in turnovers created, but we are flatline because we turn the ball over that many times. And when you flatline turnovers, and you know, obviously you want to be on the plus side of turnover margin, but if we're a zero turnover margin, that means that we're turning the ball over way too much. We've got to fix that. And two games in a row, we've turned the ball over in the first play. And this game was a read option, a ride and read by the quarterback and sophomore quarterback, freshman running back. First time the sophomore was starting a game. But they've got to be able to execute what we ask them to, and I'm sure they will as they get better. We've learned a lot about our team, and the good thing is that as we get guys back who have been injured, we've created playable depth, experience depth, and that's a very important thing as you get into the league.
You just took my next question, because that was going to be the next question, that sometimes when you go through something like this and then you get people back, now you have more options that allow you to be a better, for example, fourth quarter team, because you can manage reps better for everybody.
That's so true. And I think that everybody in our league is dealing with the same roster issues. And I think the coaches in our league are very smart in terms of how they've handled things. But if you look at the only team in the league that won this past weekend was a team playing another team in the league. And somebody's going to win that game. But we've extended ourselves with our schedule, our out-of-conference schedule. And so is everybody else in the league. And I think they've all done that with the same purpose in mind, to prepare for league play, to be toughened by playing against better opponents. And it really gets you ready for the league play. Now, what's going to happen is the people that are the healthiest will prevail. And the league is very equal in terms of the talent. The team that stays the healthiest as it goes through the grind of the league games will be the team that prevails.
I want to ask you about your defense, and I know I brought this up in some form last week, but they certainly have had an amount of pressure on them to this point. What, just some offense that
some offense
sustains and helps, what can that then do for your defense, which obviously has played, I don't care what the score says on Saturday, they've played really well in four games.
They have. We actually started two new starters. Nnamdi Unachukwu, who has played quite a bit, started as our nose, and he's a young man that has done a great job with his body, changing from a 230-pounder to a 270-pounder, and he's going to be a 290-pounder soon. And then Grayson Cherubino, he's our only 17-year-old. He turns 18 in a couple of weeks at the end of the month. But the thing that we've, in these games from a defensive standpoint, we've begun to understand exactly what we need to do as we approach the league, because we've seen it all. We've seen it all. We've seen spread offense. We've seen people who try to power us, and we've seen some unique option concepts that Villanova did against us that you better be right with your eyes. And that's what football's become. It might not look like the wishbone, but there are so many options to how people are running it, and it's things we do offensively, but everybody has their own wrinkle. And the thing that I feel strongly about is the quality of the kids that were playing in the secondary. We got beat by some long ones, but we run action situations. when safeties are responsible for filling the run, sometimes they take a step, and sometimes against a team like Villanova, one step's enough to get beaten over the top. But we played against some really good people. The Villanova team has two guys on their offensive line that are going to be drafted someplace, and then had a three-headed running back that seemed like the same guy. And it was, you know, the thing that we came away from the Villanova game healthier than we've come away from other games, and that was a physical game. And our kids never gave in, even when the scoreboard gets out of hand, which is frustrating because. But we kept coaching, and they kept responding to our coaching, and that's a tribute to them and a tribute to the way our coaches handled them.
What would success mean to your kids in terms of their growth to affirm all the stuff that you have been and your staff has been telling them?
Obviously, winning changes a lot of things. It changes how you walk, changes how they feel about themselves, and it changes how they continue to prepare. And when you drive to Holy Cross, it's 7 hours.
Yep.
All right. You come away from a win and you have a 7-hour drive, it's a lot different. And they were good in their approach last night. They're humbled by this, as we should be. We're 0-4. But they have confidence in what we're doing, how we're doing it, and they have confidence in the guys on either side of them. And I think that's the most important thing. That, you know, some teams that I've been on that after a loss they won't look you in the eye, and we need as much love as they do. When you pour your hearts out and it doesn't work for you, and this group will look you in the eye, and you know this group is going to come back and go to work. And you know, like I've said, and I've said it before, that the best time of our day is when we're on the field with them. And we need to be right offensively as we go along. And I think that I just got to have an offensive meeting. We're paring it down to do some simple things. And the good thing is that from a standpoint of what Holy Cross does a lot of what we do defensively. And we're in many ways we're playing concepts that we're used to playing against. A little bit more in the way of a four-down concept. At times it looks like a 9-man box because their safeties are fill players, but I think that gives us a chance in some of the run-action stuff that we can do on early downs. Our success on third down is related to our success on first down, and we've got to do a better job of that. And we, like I mentioned earlier, we cannot turn the ball over. And I am a big ball security guy, and our team knows that, and our staff knows that. So, you know, the ball is the program. They named the sport after it, so it's got to be something important.
Yet you win this game on Saturday up in Worcester, you're 1-0.
Exactly.
I mean, in the league, you are 1-0, which means you still have the opportunity to win the league championship. So you've got a lot in front of you.
We do. We control our own destiny. I told them this after in the locker room at the Villanova. Every week's a playoff, and that's how you want it to be. You want to play games that mean something. You know, if we were 0-4 in the conference, I think their approach would be a little bit different. But we knew going in with the youth we have, and we're taking 3 buses this week, and I put the seniors on the first bus. There aren't many offensive seniors, and that's a good thing in some ways. But you look at our offensive line right now, we have one senior. Really, if we were to start, we were play again today, we'd have one junior, 3 sophomores, and you know, they get better every rep. We have a freshman running back that he's going to be very good. So, but that's the way it is in this league. If you're good enough, you better play them because you're not going to redshirt them.
Overall, what do you like about your team? You know, I pull you aside and say, Steve, I like this, this, and this. What do you like about your team? Where you just know that you've got building blocks of success there. You know, the old Fordham blocks of granite. What are your blocks of granite?
There was a South River grad on there, South River High School, Alex Wojciechowicz.
Yeah. Alex Wojciechowicz, yep.
Yep, South River Rams. I like the resilience. I like the way they, you know, you spend so much time with these guys. To be able to laugh now and then is critical, but their resilience and their a young man like Joe Laura, who's been through some hell in terms of some injuries, and the way that guy plays, and I'm watching him fill the B gap and just annihilate their running back, annihilate their quarterback, and then he'll limp away, but the next play he's ready to roll. Same way with Brian Marine, Pat Finn, and then Alex Peachin. His dad's always getting on me about faking punts, but when you and he's a good enough athlete to do that, but when he hit a 71-yarder and he had four over 50, that you know, the thing that I did, Steve, and I have to be honest, I got him upset with me on Wednesday. I did it purposely because he's very hard on himself, but I told him he's being too sensitive, and he got really mad at me, and he took it out on the ball. And I'm not taking credit for that, believe me, but he and I, in some ways, were kindred spirits. That he's a guy that you can bring in and just talk to. That none of it really not has to center around football, but it does. Centers around life. And I'm glad he's not talking to me about his academic life, because I would have no clue what's going on there.
Yeah, Penn State is a punter, and Blake Gilligan is a 4-0, so he's in Shriners Honors College here. And I told Gilligan the other day, I said, yeah, there's a running joke out there. I said that you've never had a B in your life. I said, and I've always told people, neither have Jack Ham or I.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And don't get Galliano trying to talk to the punter, please.
No, don't do that with Phil. No, he's not going to do that. But Peachin has 13 punts over 50, 11 inside the 20. He's a luxury that any coach would love to have.
He's a great kid, too. Outstanding person.
Even better. Joe, it's 1 o'clock on Saturday. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I look forward to a winning conversation next Monday.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks.
Head football coach Chip Bucknell. They're starting Patriot League play. All right? They're starting Patriot League play, so they get a fresh start this week. They take on Holy Cross in Worcester Saturday at 1. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Coming up tomorrow, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football. Wednesday, Jack Ham. And we think the way things are shaping up right now, we are going to get someone from ESPN College Game Day probably on Friday's show, right around there. So that's what we're looking at. Okay? So just so you've got the... got a feel for what we're doing on the show this week.
You pumped for game day coming to town? That should be a great scene this week.
To be honest with you, it doesn't matter to me. Well, no. I think it's great for the program. I think it's great, awesome for the fans. I think it's great for the program. I think the way James Franklin handles it, it's going to give Penn State great exposure, plus the fans out there. The weather's going to be beautiful on Saturday. The fans out there will be great on the old main lawn. I mean, for me, it doesn't matter. I have nothing to do with it. Now, we're going to try and get somebody from game day on. But, I mean, do you think I'm going to... I mean, this is going to sound ridiculous. You know what I'm going to do Saturday morning?
Just going to prep for the game like normal.
No, I don't... prep for the game. You're not ready by Thursday.
Well, that's
true.
Yeah.
You do Friday or Saturday.
Looking over your things, stuff like that. But
I'm just going to cut my lawn.
All right.
I'm not joking.
There you go.
Jack always kids around that my heart rate. Like this week, the joke was your heart rate's 12. All right. All right. That's what he looks at me. He says, your heart rate's 12. Like, I said, Jack, we're fine. Everything's good. Don't worry about it. All right. But I'm going to probably go out and play golf Friday night because it's going to be beautiful. And I'm probably going to cut my lawn Saturday, and then I'm going to drive over. I mean, people find that ridiculous. I know they find that ridiculous that I think that way. But to me, every game is the same game. Now, I am smart enough to know that this is a huge game. I got that part. It was going to be a huge game regardless. Penn State, as I've mentioned from day one, has been playing for big stakes. Well, big stakes include this game being a signature game moving forward to determine what you're then playing for. All right, so I've got all that. But what am I going to find that extra, like, I mean, I'm going to, you know, I already did my charts. I have them always done. By the time I do this show, my charts for the next week's game are already done. They're usually finished by Sunday at noon. I'm all set. Then I go to practice, right? Went to practice last night. They're not practicing today. So I'm going to go play golf. Okay?
Simple enough.
I haven't had a chance to play golf in 2 weeks. So I'm going to go out and try and play 9 holes before it rains.
There you go.
Okay.
Take a little time off.
All right. Then tomorrow I've got some more update shows to do. I've got practice tomorrow night. There's a couple other talks. I've got to be on Ohio State's talk show tonight. I don't know, Urban Show or whatever it is. Okay? I've got to do that, and I think I was asked to do something tomorrow morning, I think. I'll have to look. I think I'm in Columbus tomorrow in another station. Okay, but that's 7 to 8 minutes. All right, then Wednesday's the usual Wednesday. I've got to get some stuff done for Channel 3, then I have to tape a TV show, then I've got to do Quarterback Club, do these shows, and then go on and go to practice. Thursday, I got a show, then I got, you know, the coach's show with James and do the pregame with him. And to be honest with you, on Friday, whatever. I mean, nothing changes for me. And having game day here, it doesn't matter to me if game day's here. I'm not going to go down. Why am I going to go down? And, you know, I'll watch some of it on TV, and then after a little while, they'll take an hour, go out, cut my lawn, come back, they'll still be on.
So, true. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, that way, when I wake up on Sunday, my lawn's cut.
So, I mean, there you go.
I don't have any desire to go down and see it, whatever. And to be honest with you, Matt, if I go down there, I mean, it's going to be the move 5 feet, move 5 feet, move 5 feet. And I can do that when I get to the stadium in the afternoon.
That is a good point. It'll be a very crowded tailgating scene down there.
No, my is either going to be people making comments or asking questions.
Oh, that's true, too.
Okay. Which is perfectly fine. It's just, it's going to rain this week. My lawn needs to be cut.
Just like everybody.
Well, I'm just saying. People think, oh, you've got to be... No, not really. I'll watch a lot of tape tonight. You know, I'm not going to watch Tulane. Jack and I talked about the Tulane thing this morning. Like, that's the equivalent of watching a 7-on-7 drill. Haskins could have been out there in shorts and a t-shirt and played on Saturday. He's really good, by the way.